Today's episode is brought to you by West Coast Frames, offering a variety of picture frames, posters, and custom frame options. Visit www.westcoastframes.com and shop online for your next custom frame. Please support the companies who support Idaho Speaks. Welcome to Idaho Speaks, Idaho's conservative talk show. My name is Ed Bejarana. I created Idaho Speaks to give voters access to conservative ideas. Liberal media and progressive activists are working hard to change Idaho into the next California or New York. Please share these episodes with friends and family, and let's keep Idaho, Idaho. Welcome to Idaho Speaks. Hey, we're there. It's election time. It's my favorite time of year. No, it's not. This happens four times a year. For goodness sakes, can we get them over with? I know that's what you're saying. More elections. Didn't we do that in November? And then we did it again in March. Now we're doing it in May. My goodness, can't they just get people elected and be done? Did you know that there's over 7,000 elected people in the state of Idaho? 7,700. More than 7,700 elected positions. We got a small state, but there's so many people who are elected to represent us. Why do we do this? Well, we do this because I don't want to go to City Hall. You don't want to go to City Hall. You don't want to be dealing with the day-to-day grind of running a library or a highway district or a city council. What we want to do is we want to elect good people, people of good moral character, if you ask me, conservative, and get them to go into the body of the public service area that they raised their hand and said, I'd like to do this, and then have them serve our interest. Remember, it's not about them. It's about us. We are the boss. So we're going into election season. This is the cycle where most of the episodes right now on Idaho Speaks will be interviews. And over the next couple of episodes, you're going to be hearing interviews from people who are running for the Kootenai County Library Board of Trustee. Now, if you've had your head buried in the sand, you probably haven't seen the news, but libraries have been talked about a little bit nationwide, as well as locally and throughout the state. Hard to believe that libraries become such an important issue, but actually they are. Where is there a more direct connection to your children, your grandchildren? I just had an addition to our family. My wife and I were welcoming our third great-grandchild. With each passing generation, we get further and further away from that which our founding fathers created 250 some years ago. And that is the most perfect system any people have created, the most perfect government, I think, that can be created. It's because it's of the people, by the people, and for the people. So Idaho Speaks is working on creating the opportunity for you, the voter, to hear directly from the candidate running for office. To me, the person running for Library Board of Trustee, a volunteer position, is just as important, maybe even more important, than the governor or the president or somebody running for Congress. This is the person that is directly connected to my child, to your child. With us in studio today, we have Tim Plass. Tim, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. And it's Plass.
Like Plass, that's right.
Like dental floss.
Like dental floss. There we go. Tim Plass. And helping me with the interview today, we got Summer Bushnell. Summer, thanks for taking time to
Hello.
Come in.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you in. Good to have kind of the co-host. I can spend a little more time engineering, a little less time worrying about the questions. So thank you so much for coming in and helping out. So, Tim, I'm going to kind of kick it off. Okay. For the voters' benefit, tell us a little bit about you. Let's stay away from the politics right now. Let's just talk about Tim Plass.
Okay. So I just recently retired. I've been an electrical engineer for over 43 years. Worked with Hewlett-Packard Agilent for many years until 2007 layoffs hit, and then I've jumped around to some companies. we came up here in 94, my wife and I, and we wanted to raise our 10 children, what became 10 children, in a rural area. And this was great. I had the work, most conservative area. So we had 15 acres and the boys all milk cows. And we, I think, got them off to a good start. And then several things happened. The layoffs, I decided to start my own wireless internet business so that I could survive in the area because it was getting hard to find engineering jobs. So I started VelociMax Wireless in 2009, but I did it at the very beginning from the onset that it would be a family safe internet, and meaning I would block the bad sites. And it turned out to be successful, as a lot of people in the county want this. So I have been to hundreds of people's homes from Cougar Gulch up to Hayden Lake, all over the prairie, over in Spokane Valley. But I was blocking these sites and people wanted it. So I sold that eventually in 2017 to Patera Wireless. But in the meantime, I got involved when NIC trustee position came open, because it was about 2015. My dual enrollment daughter took this English 101 class from this despicable English professor that they had hired first time he taught, and he gave him an assignment to watch YouTube and write a paper, and turned out to be two lesbians doing their thing. And I tried to get her out of class and finally got the dual enrollment department chair to do something to help us. But I decided then, if there ever came a trustee open position, I was going to get in, and I wanted to try to clean up some of this immorality that was going on. And I don't know why in a county like this, we have instructors doing this to our youngsters. Anyway, that didn't work out. And, it's Mike McGowan got it, and he won. I might not have. I have no regrets over that. But it's been a campaign or a position I've tried to take to use my ability maybe to give back to the community. But I want to clean up things, and I care about the children. I have grandchildren in the area, and this library position came up, and once I started learning about it, it was a obvious thing to try.
Well, let's talk just briefly for the voters' point of view. What does a library trustee do? What is the job that you're applying for?
Well, it's basically oversight of the library system. So it's got three main things. They propose and set the budget, how much they're going to spend each year. And they hire and do performance reviews of the library director. That's the only employee they actually, I think, do anything with. And then they, they can also appoint legal assistants and appoint a secretary. But the third main thing is they write policy. So the policy is approved, voted on by the trustees, so it has to have a majority. And the policies can be everything from how do we buy books to what kind of business practices do we have, what hours, it's the functioning of the library. So we can directly affect how the library acts or performs for the county by writing policies.
All right. I want to get a very obvious question out of the way, because this is the one I hear. I already told him all the questions I was going to ask him, by the way. Are you for banning books? Are you banning books currently?
We can't ban books.
Exactly.
The banning of books would be maybe the government preventing a publisher from publishing. We can't do that. We can't buy all the books in the world or all the books even in this country. There's not enough shelf space. We're just going to decide which books we buy. And that's the books are still out there. Anybody can buy them on Amazon. We're not doing anything to control that.
Is there policy on books and how you determine if you're going to buy them? I don't know if there is or not.
There's a procedure, but I don't think it's, I should know this for sure, but I don't think it's a written policy. We've tried to find out, and the librarians have a process, and basically it's, what does the American Library Association recommend? Is the book on the New York Times bestseller? Is the author getting awards? And it's things like that. They use as criteria, but we need to either change the policy if it really exists or...
Well, that segued into a added on question I thought of. What is your opinion on the American Library Association?
I consider it a Marxist organization. When the new president that ran for election openly told everybody that they're a lesbian Marxist, and they won, and that person won.
Wow, it's not based on the content of their character, just their outer
beliefs. There was some, well, there was something about how busy she was being a good librarian. I'm sure there was some of that. But
and then there's been another question. Is the Community Library Network, for those of you that don't know, the Coeur d'Alene Library is its own tax entity, but any other library in the county is part of the Community Library Network, and that's what everybody but Coeur d'Alene will be voting on May 16th. Is the Community Library Network a member of the ALA? Because I've heard yes, and then I've heard no, depending on who you ask.
It's not a member. The members are the librarians, the individuals.
Oh, so the entity is not, but the employees are.
Employees, okay. A lot of the employees want to be part of it. They get to go to the national conference and get a discount. So they join, become a member. And CLN has been, I believe, has been paying their membership. So I'm stopping that. No more. We're severing any ties with if I get elected, with the American Library Association. If they want to go, they're on their own.
Can right. I ask a follow-up?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Why? Why do you want to sever that relationship?
Well, one example, last fall in their national conference in Portland, I think it was, I've got a picture of the big screen and somebody's doing a presentation and the whole screen is how to gayify the libraries.
And what does that have to do with learning? Oh my goodness.
Well, and they're reading. Learning to be lesbians. They're learning to be gay people. They're learning to how to promote this. That's what the instruction is. So ALA is actively promoting this kind of material in the library, and these librarians are just staying in line and following it.
Wow. Another question. What do you think the state legislature, so the Idaho House, the Idaho Senate, what do you think their role is in local libraries?
We sure could have used their help if they could have got their act together. Well, they did, and the governor vetoed. But if we had a law, state statute, saying that this kind of material can't be in the library, or an overarching policy that you can't allow multiple genders to use bathrooms, whatever it is, if they would make a law, then it would make our job easier. But we're going ahead without them. We don't have to answer to any other higher authority. The governor can't change what we're doing.
So. Correct.
But that's only here yes. in Kootenai County and four precincts in Shoshone, but Pinehurst. So.
Okay, so that makes sense. Let's see. What are your thoughts on the adult content that's in the children's section of the library? A lot of people don't think it exists. It is there.
Oh, it's...
And I mean not like young adults. I mean like under 12 kids.
It really doesn't matter if it's under 18. It yeah. shouldn't be where any kid can walk through. First of all, that they don't barricade or chain off the above 12 correct. Section from yeah. younger. Any 11-year-old can walk anywhere in the library, even in the adult section. And when these books are sitting on a shelf at waist high to appeal to and sitting out on a display with banners around it, an 11-year-old will walk over and pick it up. So no, it shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be where any child can walk up and look at it, because some of the moms or adults bring their kids in and maybe they go off and do their own thing and let the kids wander. They don't even know it's there. So I don't want any of the books out where children can see them.
Let me jump in here. So one of the arguments that you hear a lot with regards to the book content is it should be up to the parents to choose whether kids are exposed to that. Where do you come down, or how do you respond to that challenge?
It's fine. If there are parents that really want their kids to have this, I am advocating my first position to remove/reposition. They're going to go behind the counter. We won't get rid of them out of the library necessarily, but they're going to go behind the counter. Children can't walk by and see them. They can't bring their child's or their minor card and ask to see them. But if a parent over 18 really wants that book and knows about it, they'll ask for it and it'll be brought to the counter. And the parent can let the child out. But the child cannot have access to it on its own, on their own. And really, how is it any different than when my oldest daughter worked at Gonzaga in the rare books collection, part of work study? They got these books from 1500, 1600. They're locked in a vault, or they control the air, the humidity and everything. But somebody can walk up and ask, I want to see this 1450 Bible or whatever they have. And they bring it out to them, and they have to put gloves on, but they watch it under supervision. No one has ever accused Gonzaga of banning books or
right. From a standpoint of content, because Summer, you brought up the point that a lot of folks don't believe that there's sexually explicit books in the library. There's a lot of folks that have heard different book topics bantered about as that this is what the Christian right is against. What sort of books, in your mind, would the library stop purchasing? Let's talk specifics about the topics that you don't want in the library.
I don't have to invent anything, Ed. The state legislature already has several Idaho statutes where they make it very clear obscene pornographic material. And they go through in detail in text what it would say, pictures that are shown graphically. The description's already there. It's just that the librarians, if they were arrested, they would get out of jail free. There's a way to get out so nothing happens to them. Librarians and schools, because back in the 70s when that was put in, they wanted to give them an exemption for sex education. So their intent was to be able to have a human biology book there in the school or the library. Not this stuff that's going on. So it is there. And if it violates this Idaho statutes that's there, even if it's only on one page out of 365, it's gone. I mean, it's being removed from the shelves.
So with regards to the fantasy, the role-playing, Dungeons and Dragons, those other types of topics that just this morning was mentioned in the newspaper as being the source of anger from the Christian right. What is your position on those topics?
That's not my campaign issues right now. There are things like CRT and other things that they probably didn't mention there last night, but CRT and demonizing the police and so forth that I don't personally think should be there, but it's not a campaign issue now.
And I think for the listener, this isn't just books that are, you know, basic. Here's a boy part. Here's a girl part. Here's human anatomy. These are explicit how to do certain things that I tell my kids. Only married people should be really dealing with that. It's that level of stuff that we are concerned about.
You know, and it's interesting you bring that up. We're going to be doing a episode or probably a few episodes on content that is available in the library.
I know you said you were going to have someone read it out loud.
Yeah.
I can't volunteer to do that. I'd probably be laughing or like blushing. The video would be hilarious.
Yeah, we're bringing a representative of Clean Books for Kids to come in to actually read passages. But also, I'm going to be sharing the legislative language, and I don't go to sleep. I know as soon as Ed says legislative language, that's the cure for insomnia. No, Title 18, Chapter 15 from the legislative code is what Tim is referring to. And I'm going to reference the code so you can read for yourself. It's really up to the voters to decide, do we elect a representative like Tim to go in and do these things? And the purpose of these interviews is to give you, the voter, a flavor for what Tim will do. Mm-hmm.
And how do they find out more about you or donate or get a sign?
That's on my website at www.voteplus.com.
P-L-A-S-S,
all one word, voteplus.com.
Sounds good.
And we'll include those that link in the show notes. Are there any final thoughts that you want to leave with the voter?
I guess just to expand a little bit about the censoring that we're being accused of proposing. We know from these moms that have gone around and looked at books, taken pictures of them, found the passages and flagged them and documented. We know there are at least 330 titles in our community library network that would be violating the Idaho statutes somehow. But we also know there's 850 titles. Some of them are duplicated in the throughout the network. So close to 1,800 books that have other topics that maybe are witchcraft or CRT or other objectionable things. Somebody brought those books in over the last 5 years, at least maybe 8 years. I don't know when they brought the books in, but there has not been a library expansion. Nobody added a wing to the library. Nobody added more bookshelves. I contend there's 1,700 books that have been removed in the last 5 years, and very quietly, and we haven't been told about it. So who is doing the censoring? Is Little House on the Prairie books there? Are Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates? Is Huck Finn even there? What happened to those books? Something happened to make room for 1,700 books. And I contend, and we're trying to get information on this, but I contend that these existing incumbents on the trustees of the trustee have or overseen censoring. They've removed it. And then the second part, Ed, is that we have the right as a community, and we're already exercising, we have the right to say what should be in our library. They don't put books on how to poison people, how to make anthrax. They don't carry books on how to make nuclear bombs.
But I really want to know that. Why not? Well, sarcasm intended.
If the librarians really followed the American Library Association mantra, they have a policy they call intellectual freedom that they're trying to copy from professors, college professors, called academic freedom. And what intellectual freedom, according to the ALA, is any patron has a right to get any information they want. So if they want to come in and learn about chainsaws, you give them information. If they want to learn about how to become a trans, that you give them the information. No, we don't give them information on how to make anthrax because it's a safety issue for our community and for the future generation. These books that are graphically describing a dad with incestual relationship with the daughter and what the daughter's thinking when he's doing this. And what the heck? You're messing up children for the future. And they may get so, they most likely, a lot of them will get so messed up with this that they will never become parents of a traditional family and raise children. And those children coming out of a traditional family is the source of all good citizens for the future. And if we don't have that, it's going to be a race. Who's going to take the country down first? We have to stop this at a local level.
Well, Tim, I really want to thank you for taking time to come in studio today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity, Ed.
We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.